Down to business on News Talk.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland. Because your financial well-being is our priority, our dedicated business teams are here to help.
The staycation may be the word of the year, with lots of people choosing to holiday at home. So what's it going to mean for Ireland's biggest tourist attractions? I'm delighted to be joined on the programme now by Geraldine Enright. She's a director of the Cliffs of Moher Visitors Experience, and Sean Connick, the CEO of the JFK Trust. They operate at the Dunbrody Famine Ship and indeed the Kennedy Homestead down in New Ross in Wexford there. But before I bring in my two guests, I'd like to talk to Ruth Andrews. She's the CEO of the Irish, the incoming Tourist Operators Association. She's also the chair of the Irish Tourist Industry Confederation and indeed the Tourism Recovery Task Force. Ruth, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Bobby. Lovely to hear your voice all the way down here on my staycation in Kinsale.
Kinsale, what a nice place to be. Now, Ruth, you said to us, I think last week, that the industry desperately needs two things, clarity and certainty, and it appears we've got neither.
Yes, well, certainly we are looking towards the July job stimulus to give us that. I suppose the certainty came when we knew that businesses could reopen across the tourism sector. And that was a very welcome move forward in terms of the 3 weeks. So we've got lots of our tourism businesses back open, but operating in a very different environment and obviously with far smaller capacities than they will be used to. And of course, opened in the peak of a season that is going to be very dependent on the staycation market. So we really do need now to know, in terms of planning for the future and planning beyond July and August, for these businesses is going to be critical. So we really are looking forward to the July job stimulus from the government to actually give us the supports that we need. It's a vital need right now to have a lifeline and maybe to secure as many of those 265,000 jobs that our industry provides across the entire country, 70% of those being outside of the urban areas. So they're hugely important to the social fabric of this country. And I suppose listening to John Moran, who you had on there earlier, I mean, John has it right. This is about stimulating and maintaining these businesses. They have ended up in the situation through no fault of their own and through nobody's fault for that matter. This is a crisis, an existential one like no other, that has hit businesses across this country, and particularly tourism. And obviously tourism is an internationally traded service. So it's an export business, because 75% of our business in tourism comes from the overseas markets, which we won't have for the foreseeable future. But we will recover and we will come back. And what we do need to do is to make sure that the Irish tourism industry is as intact when that recovery really comes into play as it was when we entered this crisis.
And you mentioned the tourists, the overseas tourists, craving certainty. Like, somebody coming from France or Germany or indeed the US doesn't decide today or tomorrow that I'm going to go and visit Ireland. So really, in the short term then, you know, does our product, you know, and you're close to a lot of big tourist attractions, does our product need to change, I suppose, for now, to be more focused on the indigenous tourists? Or is that easier said than done?
Well, you know, in fairness, the indigenous tourist sector generates about 2 million of our revenues in tourism every year. So that's not to be sniffed at, and it's an integral part of what we do and who we serve. And I suppose for some businesses more than others, the pivot is going to be greater because they may have had a higher dependency on those international visitors. But in the lead up to opening, be it from the accommodation sector to the fabulous visitor experiences that we have across the country, they have already significantly invested in their products, to make sure that they are safe and welcoming. Almost all, I'd say, at this stage have signed up to the safety charter that Fáilte Ireland have put in place. They've all had to adhere to the very strict protocols and new operating procedures that were agreed with the Department of Health, etc. So they have opened their doors knowing that they can welcome their customers in and deliver a terrific experience to them. Lots of the visitor attractions, for instance, are already offering great value for families in particular. There's offers that are available. If people go to check them out online, they will find them. Booking in advance is essential, and we'd recommend that where people can, because again, we're very conscious that our numbers are curtailed due to the social distancing. But that can be managed, and it can be managed well. And particularly for those visits that are more indoor than outdoor. I know you'll be talking to Geraldine shortly, and you know the Cliffs of Moher is always an amazing experience. But when you look at the cliffs, and I'm sure she'll tell you herself, the volume of business that comes from the overseas markets is huge, but they also do a significant staycation business. And on days like today, where I am, certainly, this is the day that if you're not at the Cliffs of Moher, you're really missing out.
Well, Ruth, thank you for that overview. And on that note, I will indeed introduce Geraldine Enright, the director of the Cliffs of Moher. Good morning to you, Geraldine.
Good morning, Bobby, from County Clare.
Yeah, how are you doing down there? How are things?
We're doing fantastic now. The sun is shining here today, so that's positive.
Okay. Geraldine, you might just let us know how badly, I suppose, over the last number of months, your business has been affected, and you're now reopened. And what you've done, I suppose, to tailor make the great resource that is the Cliffs of Moher to the Irish visitor, because that's probably all that we're going to see this year.
Absolutely, Bobby. Well, last year we welcomed 1.6 million visitors, which is a phenomenal amount of people to welcome to the rural west coast of Ireland. And since we reopened post-COVID, we are only welcoming a fraction of those visitors. And it really calls out how dependent we have been on the international market. This year, we are estimating that we will only see 20% of those 1.6 million visitors. So there are so few people at the cliffs.
So that's about 320,000 people down from 1.6 million.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Big shock.
It's a huge shock to the system. And, you know, while there are so few people, for those who are coming, that experience is absolutely fantastic. And right now, you know, there has to be a balance between those safety measures and visitor enjoyment, and not losing good customer service along the way. So our role now is to make sure that the visitor experience is fully welcoming and safe to those visitors who do come. And we're making it as easy as possible for our domestic visitors to book online in advance, to make the transaction seamless and entry seamless as they come on site, because the Cliffs of Moher are absolutely amazing place to visit post-COVID. It's a large open site. There are plenty of wide open spaces, but there also are the comfort of the visitor centre and all of the experiences within, including the exhibition, dining areas and retail.
Yeah, and that, you say it yourself, Geraldine, the fact that you're an outdoor attraction really does play to an advantage to you.
Absolutely, through this whole crisis, people have returned to nature, and nature has really resonated with people. So, you know, as the domestic visitor gets out to visit again, they're coming to coastal areas, they're coming to rural areas, because they are viewed as being safe places to come and visit.
Yeah, okay. Well, stay with us, because I want to just bring in our next guest, Sean Connick. He's the CEO at JFK Trust, who operate the Dunbrody Famine Ship Experience and the Kennedy Homestead down there in New Ross in County Wexford. Good morning to you, Sean.
Good morning, Bobby, and good morning, Geraldine and Ruth as well, from the sunny southeast here in New Ross this morning.
Good man. Okay, Sean, tell us a little bit about your own experiences from, particularly around the Dunbrody experience. You're looking at what, potentially maybe a 90% drop in numbers from last year to this year.
Yeah, well, we would have welcomed 70,000 visitors to both attractions across last year. So in our projections, as we were setting about looking at the impact that this was going to have on our project, we were largely dependent on about 75% of our business being overseas. That left us with 25%, and allowing for a drop back in, I suppose, confidence and the amount of available extra income that people would have, we were projecting a 10% return. That would take us down to about 7,500 visitors for the year ahead, which is obviously a catastrophic fall. What we've found over the last 10 days, and we've opened on the 1st of July, is that we're running at about 15%. So we're were
a little better.
Yeah, a little better than expected. Not as good as obviously you'd hope for, but it is better than expected, and at least that's a positive. And the staycationers or the domestic market is definitely turning up, and it's definitely calling into the visitor attractions and staying local and supporting the attractions, which is vitally important to our survival.
And Sean, will you have to borrow money now to keep the lights on effectively, or will you have to remain solvent as a business? Like, you know, to operate on 10 or 15% of what you normally operate on, is that financially realistic?
Well, that's the huge challenge. So, like, I mean, like a lot of businesses, you would have your pre-COVID debt. You know, you'd have obviously been paying your leases and any loans or mortgages that may have existed on business. I'm talking in general now. And you're now looking at a post-COVID debt of multiples, probably, of what you were servicing prior to the close down back in March. So, I mean, the fact that Ruth made clarity and certainty will be very important to us going forward. I would compliment the government in the initial stages. I think the wage subsidy scheme was vital.
Yeah.
And we would not be open without the wage subsidy scheme. We could not have opened the doors. But I think we need urgency now. And that's the key word in terms of, you know, coming up with a package. And we're all very hopeful for the July stimulus package. And we're all dependent on Ruth and the task force and EVIA, the Association of Visitor Experience and Attractions, and all of these people who represent our organisations and our businesses to try and ensure that we get things like low or no interest loans, save your grants, or even compensation scheme, as John Moran alluded to there, reduce VAT, and, you know, an increase in restart grants.
Okay.
Projects like ours are run by voluntary boards of directors. We're not for profit. And this is a huge ask and a huge responsibility to put on voluntary boards and directors to look at a scenario where they may be doubling or in some cases trebling the level of debt they have.
Yeah.
And, that's just been important.
No, it's a good point. Geraldine, I just want to read you a text here because there was another point I wanted to ask you about. It says, I've booked a 3-night hotel in Kerry in August, but the price is huge, at least 50% more than I would expect. I can't afford a staycation of longer than 3 nights. If I could go overseas, I would because of the prices. Just the value for money proposition, Geraldine. I'm interested to get your view on it because it's important that, you know, attractions and, you know, tourism related businesses are able to make a profit. But we've got to find that midpoint between operating profitably and providing value for money. Can I ask you your views on that?
Absolutely, Bobby. Value for money is absolutely critical. And I suppose with that in mind, we have introduced a dynamic pricing model actually back in 2018, which means that the customer chooses the price that they pay by time of arrival. Now, we open from 8 a.m. through to 9 p.m. right through until the end of August. So the customer chooses the best value that they wish to pay, for example, before 11 or after 4 p.m. We also have a fully inclusive ticket. So when you purchase your ticket to the Cliffs of Moher Visitor Experience, it's an all-inclusive ticket. So you don't have to put your pocket hand in your pocket again if you wish to, for example, go to O'Brien's Tower viewing area. Also, just post-COVID, we introduced a 7-day return ticket. This is whereby a visitor that may be staying in the locality can return within a week for another visit and with no extra charge.
That's a great idea. A great idea. And back to you, Sean, then, just I suppose in relation to your own prophecy about how the year is going to unfold. You're slightly ahead of a fairly dark scenario that you predicted yourself. Are you optimistic that Irish tourists and Irish staycationers will support the Dunbrody experience and indeed the Kennedy homestead down in New Ross?
Well, we are, and I mean, we're seeing it already, and I suppose, look, like everyone in the tourism sector, you know, it is a very stressful and a very worrying time for us all. We have a 9-week window opportunity of business this year. Really, this year is effectively written off. The hope is that, you know, we review the situation, say, mid-August with the view to a plan for September to March to get you through that period, because the tourism sector, remember, has been in the off period, we'll say, from October 2019. This crisis hit us just as we were about to restart our normal summer season business. It's wiped that out, and now we're heading back into another 6 months of severe winter scenario. And then you're looking at, you know, what level of business will there be next year? A lot of tourists book a year ahead, or if not 2 years ahead. I know certainly in terms of marketing, probably a lot of people are now going to start focusing on 2022.
Yeah.
So we think 2021 obviously will be a challenge as well. But look, we've got to take measures. We think that the wage subsidy scheme is vital, that it extends out to the end of at least March 2021, that we get the supports in place, and it's going to be a bit stop-start. And, you know, remember, a lot of us have retail component parts, we have restaurants, all of these have been impacted in a similar fashion because we don't have the visitor numbers. So
okay.
In terms of retaining jobs and that, we have a big task ahead, and that's why I think urgency is the big one. I think middle, end of September will be critical for a lot of projects to see
okay.
how they're going to manage across the year.
Okay, well, we wish you both well. Geraldine Enright, Director of the Cliftonmore Visitor Experience. Sean Connick, JFK Trust, Operator of the Dunbrowley Famineship even. And indeed, the Kennedy Homestead in New Ross. And also earlier, thank you to Ruth Andrews of the ITOA.